ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 87, Text 23. This is a long chapter called The Prayers of the Personified Vedas. Not just long, but very deep, very deep, very philosophical. I guess first we do the word meanings. Nibritam. Brought under control. Marut, with breathing. Mana, mind. Aksha, and senses. Drida yoga, in steadfast yoga. Yuja, engaged. Ridhi, in the heart. Yat, which? Munayaha, sages. Upasate, worship. Tat, that. Achaya, enemies. Api, also. Yayuhu, attained. Smaranat, by remembering. Striya, women. Uraga Indra, of lordly serpents, boga, in parentheses, like the bodies, bhuja, whose arms, danda, rod-like, vishakta, attracted, diya, whose minds, vayam, we, api, also, te, to you. Sama, equal. Sama, equal. Trisha, whose vision? Angri, of the feet. Saroja, lotus-like. Sudaha, relishing the nectar. So how should we do this? Should I just read myself, or are we do responsibly also? Okay. One thing it's a little trick I picked up. It's probably a disclaimer. It's not probably orthodox, but I found that in some of these, this kind of tricky meter or these verses that have that require a meter that most of us are not familiar with. I find if we use a 6/8 rhythm, like a fast waltz, it tends to encompass all the syllables. Let's see if it works this time. Nibritam marun manuk sadrida yoga yujori diyan. Munaya upasate tadara yopiya yusmaranat. Jiya ura kendra boga buja danda vishakta diyo. Vayam apite sama sama drishong di saroja sudaha. You like that? Nibrita maru manuk sadrita yoga yujori diyan. Munaya upasate tad arayopiya yusmaranat. Striya ura gendra boga buja danda vishakta diyo. Vayam apite sama sama drishong di saroja sudaha. Vrittamaru manakshadriki yoga yutori diyan. Unaya upasati tadara yopiya yusmarana. Sriya ura dindra bogha bhuja tanda visatva diyo. Nita marun manuk sadhita yoga yutori diyan. Munaya upasati tadara yopi ayusmaranan. Urakendra bogabuja danda visakta diyo. Ayamma pite sama sama trisongri saro tesudaham. Nibrita marun manuk sadhiti yoga yutori diyan. Munaya upasati tadara yopiya yusmaranan. Kriya ura gendra bhoga bhuja danda visakta diyo. Vayam apite sama samadri songi saro chasudaha. Mataji. Nibrita marun manuk sadrida yoga yuchori diyan. Unaya upasati tad arayopi ayus mananan. Sriya ura gendra bhoga bhuja danda visakta diyo. Vayam apite sama samadri songri saro chasudaham. Nibrita marun manuk sadhiti yoga yuchori diyan. Unaya upasati tadara yopi ayusmaranan. Sriya ura gendra bhoga bhuja danda visakta diyo. Vayama pite sama samadhi songhi saro chasudaham. Sort of grows on you, doesn't it? Oh, we did that. Okay. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, by the followers of Srila Prabhupada, BBT team. Simply by constantly thinking of him, the enemies of the Lord attain the same supreme truth, whom sages fixed in yoga worship by controlling their breath, mind, and senses. Similarly, we Shrutis, who generally see you as all-pervading, will achieve the same nectar from your lotus feet that your consorts are able to relish because of their loving attraction to your mighty serpentine arms, for you look upon us and your consorts in the same way. Purport. According to Acharya, Sri Jiva Goswami, the few Shrutis, such as the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, who identify the cowherd boy Krishna with absolute Brahman in its highest aspect, had so far been patiently waiting for their turn to speak. But after hearing the other Shrutis offer prayers openly glorifying the Lord's personality, these intimate Shrutis could no longer contain themselves, and so they spoke out of turn in this verse. Amazing. Followers of the path of mystic yoga subdue their senses and minds by practicing breath control and severe austerities. That's pretty long purport. Just checking. If they succeed in thoroughly purifying themselves by this regimen, they may eventually begin to realize the Paramatma, the personal form of Brahman within the heart. Notice it says personal form of Brahman, localized, personal, okay. And if they continue this meditation without deviation for a long time, they may, in the end, come to the point of true God consciousness. But the same objective achieved in this difficult and uncertain way was also attained by the demons who were killed by Lord Krishna during his pastimes on the earth. Obsessed with enmity toward him, demons like Kamsa and Shishupal quickly obtained the perfection of liberation simply by his killing them. Speaking for themselves, however, the personified Vedas here state that they would prefer to develop love of God by learning to emulate, let's say following the footsteps, the favorable surrender of Lord Krishna's confidential devotees, especially the young gopis of Braj. Though they appeared to be simple women attracted conjugally to the Lord's physical beauty and strength, the goddesses of Raja exhibited the highest perfection of meditation. The Shrutis wished to become just like them. In this regard, Lord Brahma relates the following historical account in the supplement to the Brihad Vamana Purana. Ramananda Mayoloko Vyapi Vaikuntha Sangitaha Taloka Vashitatrastai Stutovadai Parat Paraha. Translation, the infinite world of spiritual bliss is called Vaikuntha. There the supreme truth lives, being glorified by the personified Vedas, who are also present there. Chiram stutva tatastustam paroksam prahatan gira tustosmi bruhabo pragyam paramyam mana shepshitam. Oh, you have it up there, so it's permitted that we can do it. How do you call that? Like a chorus or something. Once, after the Vedas had elaborately praised him, these are all translations, the Lord felt especially satisfied and spoke to them in a voice whose source remained invisible. I'm not good at imitating God, never was, but we'll try. My dear sages, I am very satisfied with you. Please ask of me some benediction that you secretly desire. Shutaya uchuhu yatal taloka vashinya kama tatvena gopikaha bhajanti ramanam matva chikirsa janinastata. The Shrutis replied, we have developed the desire to become like the cowherd women of the mortal world who, inspired by lust, worship you in the mood of a lover. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Durlabo Durgatas Chaivam Yusmakam Samanodataham Mayanumodita Samyak Satyo Babitum Arhati. The Lord then said, this desire of yours is difficult to fulfill. Indeed, it is almost impossible. But since I am sanctioning it, your wish must inevitably come true. Agamani vidinchautu jate shishtartam udite kalpam sarasvatam prapya praje gopyo bhavishyata. When the next Brahma takes birth to faithfully execute his duties of creation, and when the day of his life called the Sarasvata Kalpa arrives, you will all appear in Vraja as gopis. This is the first time I'm learning that each Kalpa has a particular name. I didn't know that. So this is called the Sarasvata Kalpa. Prithivyam bharate kshetre mature mamamandale Vrindavane bhavishyami prayan vodasamandale. On the earth, in the land of Bharat, in my own district of Mathura, in the forest of Vrindavan, I will become your beloved in the circle of the rasa dance. Charadharmena susneham sudridam sarvato dikam mayi samprapya sarvepi krita kritya bhavishyata. Thus obtaining me as your paramour, you will all gain the most exalted and steadfast pure love for me, and in this way you will fulfill all your ambitions. Brahma vacha shrutvaitach chintayantasta rupam bhagavatash chidam ukta kalam samasadhya gopyo bhutva harim gataha. Lord Brahma said, after hearing these words, the Shrutis meditated on the personality of Godhead's beauty for a long time. When the designated time ultimately arrived, they became gopis and obtained the association of Krishna. Okay, continuing the purport now, aside from the translations. A similar account can be found in the Srishti Kanda of the Padma Purana, which describes how the Gayatri Mantra also became a gopi. Regarding the development of bhakti, Lord Krishna further states in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Uttara 4, Aputa puto babati yam mam smitva, avrati vrati babati yam mam smitva, nishkama sakamo babati yam mam smitva, ashrotri shrotri babati yam mam smitva. By remembering me, translation, one who is impure becomes pure. By remembering me, one who follows no vows becomes a strict follower of vows. By remembering me, one who is desireless develops desires, in brackets, to serve me. By remembering me, one who has studied no Vedic mantras becomes an expert knower of the Vedas. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.5.6 refers to the gradual steps in the process of becoming Krishna conscious. Atmava are drashtavya shrotavyo mantavyo nididhyasitavya. It is the self, now with a capital S, it is the self which must be observed, heard about, thought of, and meditated upon with fixed concentration. The idea here is that one should realize the Supreme Self as directly visible in his full personality by the following means. First, one should hear the instructions of a qualified representative of the Paramatma and take the words of such a spiritual master into one's heart by offering him humble service and striving in all ways to please him. One should then ponder the divine message of the spiritual master continuously with the aim of dispelling all one's doubts and misconceptions. Then one can proceed to meditate on the Supreme Lord's lotus feet with total conviction and determination. So-called jnanis may think that the Upanishads praise nirvishesha, impersonal realization of the Supreme, as more complete and final than sa-vishesha, personal worship of the Supreme Godhead. All honest Vaishnavas, however, join in adhering to the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, always meditating with pleasure on his infinitely wonderful variegated spiritual qualities. In the words of the Shruti mantras, yam evaisha vrinute tena labhyas, tasyaiva atma vrinute tanum svam. To that person whom the Supreme Soul chooses, he becomes attainable. To that person, the Supreme Soul reveals his personal form. That's from Katha Upanishad 1.2.23 and Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.3. Srila Sridhar Swami concludes with a prayer. Charana smaranam prema tava deva satulabam yata katanchit nirhare mama bhuyad aha nisham. O Lord, loving remembrance of your lotus feet is very rarely achieved. Please, O Hari, somehow arrange for me to have that remembrance day and night. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnanjana Shalakya Chakshun Maritam Tasmai Sri Gurume Namaha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let's see if it stays on. All right. I don't have a PowerPoint. If you had yesterday. So what would I be doing is at a certain early in the lecture, I'll do a little bit of backtracking to something that a question I had had for many, many years, and it was only just these days, kind of going through the purports leading up to today's verse in this amazing chapter, the prayers of the personified Vedas, that my question, I see it was actually answered in the purport, although it takes some thoughtfulness to catch the answer. Now you're probably curious what was the question and all that. Well, we'll get to that soon, Ellie. I gotcha. Keep pay attention. We'll get there. So there's a few points. One thing we may sometimes, you know, like, let's face it, we're living in several different worlds, each one of us, isn't it? I mean, there may be a few of you, I'm not included in that very privileged club, of being really firmly rooted under the protection of the divine energy and in the spiritual world and realized in that area. For the rest of us, including myself, we kind of like go between reality and illusion. We do tend to pay a lot of attention, I do, of material body and keeping it, trying to keep it healthy as it gets older and older and older, and this kind of thing. And also we may sometimes take a little peek at the news, and then we become startled and dismayed and confused and sometimes angry when we see how Kali Yuga is regressing, I won't say progressing. But one thing is that actually, in one sense, when you really get down to the fundamental issues involved, birth, death, disease, old age, fear of death, yes, Bhagavatam recommends ahoratrais chidyamanam budvayu bayavipatu. I don't want to strain my brain at your expense for the rest of it, Sanskrit. But basically it says, one who is intelligent, he sees that ahoratrais, the passing of days and nights, are cutting down, chidyamanam, are cutting down his duration of life. And therefore, an appropriate reaction to that should be vayavipatu. It means that you should become shaken, your body should shake with fear. I mean, interesting. And then, why is that good, to be afraid of death? Because the next intelligent, fortunate person immediately surrenders to the Supreme Lord, and nidiha upashamyati. He relinquishes, he lets go of all his material attachments, and he becomes completely peaceful. Upashamyati. So this kind of instruction is always pertinent and relevant in all yugas, in all times, in all places, in within the cosmic manifestation. So it's kind of like we have a connection between the concerns of the great sages, even the Shrutis, And so many devotees that were hearing this whole series of different conversations that were all leading to the answer to the question of Maharaj Parikshit at the beginning, which we're getting to. One detail about the style here is that it's interesting, maybe it was pointed out in earlier classes, I don't know how far this goes back, but you notice at the end of every purport, the BBT team has given Sridhar Swami the last word. These many verses are ending with his realization. Of course, Lord Chaitanya had full respect for one of the earliest commentators of the Bhagavatam, Srila Sridhar Swami. Okay, now let's get to that question that you may be curious about. Worth reviewing in a point I had always pondered until recently reviewing these purports, namely, how do we get from Maharaj Parikshit's question to the elaborate answer? After all, the former, in other words, the question, dealt with the question of material sound's ability to describe the transcendence, while the latter, in other words, the answer, explains why the absolute truth must be personal rather than generic spirit or impersonal. I was also struck by the hermeneutic description provided for us in the second verse of this chapter, the fifth paragraph of the purport. Now, let me just move the page a little so it doesn't close on me. The battery has that system. So this is the quote. The question Maharaj Parikshit has submitted here, this is a quote from the purport, namely, how can the Vedas directly refer to the absolute truth? Now, I know you've all read this a couple of weeks ago or something, but anyway, I just want to share it with you because for me it was very instructive. How can the Vedas directly refer to the absolute truth has been answered as followed by Shukadev Goswami. The Lord created intelligence and other elements for the sake of the conditioned living beings. That's a quote. A skeptic may object to this answer, that this answer is irrelevant. I was thinking, it seems irrelevant. Doesn't seem like it's connecting with the question. I guess I was a skeptic. But Shukadev Goswami's answer is not actually irrelevant, as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains. Answers to subtle questions must often be phrased indirectly. Sometimes you hear, you ask a foolish or stupid question, you get a stupid answer. So here it's saying something similar on a more exalted level, of course, that if you ask a question that is nuanced and is it's subtle, then you get a subtle or indirect answer, as we'll hear. Answers to subtle questions must often be phrased indirectly. As Lord Krishna himself states in his instruction to Uddhava, Bhagavatam 11.21.35, Paroksham vada rishaya paroksham mama cha priyam. The Vedic seers and mantras deal in esoteric terms, and I also am pleased by such confidential descriptions. In the present context, the impersonalist on whose behalf Parikshit Maharaj asked his question cannot appreciate the direct answer, so instead Srila Shukadev gives an indirect reply. Quote, you say that Brahman is indescribable by words, but if the Supreme Lord had not created the intelligence, mind, and senses, then sound and other objects of perception would all be just as indescribable as your Brahman. In other words, where this is going is that it's not just a question of how could words describe the spirit or Brahman or Supreme Brahman, but rather how can words describe anything? How can we even understand words? How can we have language? How can we do anything if the Supreme Lord was impersonal? In other words, there's a designer involved, there's intelligence involved, And if you can picture a designer and intelligence, Albert Einstein tried to do this without a person. Maybe you have to be Albert Einstein to have some concept of that. But I think we all agree that if you have intelligence and design and arrangement, that there's some person involved. So the that's a kind of a bridge between the question and the answer. And it is subtle and it is indirect, but at least my doubt was dispelled from that. Another point here is that amazing how we're hearing directly from the Shrutis, the Vedas personified. The other day, Nagaraj Prabhu gave us a nice hint of how holy books can also be persons. He mentioned book Bhagavatam, person Bhagavatam. Kind of, it's a model or a kind of an example that we could get a handle on this. And this privileged audience, this wonderful participation, in other words, we are privileged to be audience and to be privy of what was being told eons ago. Actually, very, very long ago, it took place actually at the dawn of creation, is incredibly valuable. What to speak of edifying. And lest we forget, these Vedas personified are actually, quote, the first emanations from the breathing of Lord Narayan. That was in one of the verses, I believe. There's a verse, relevant verse, Syamahato Bhutasya Nishvashitam Etadyat Digvedo Yajurveda Samavedo Tarvangirasaha. That's from the Brihat Aranyaka Upanishad 4.5.11. If we were all very, very super scholars and we were good in Sanskrit, we just go on and say, wasn't that great? But don't worry, you'll get a translation. This, by the way, is quoted, I'm forgetting, I didn't make a note of it. It's in a purport in Bhagavad Gita. I can't remember right now, but it's in a Bhagavad Gita purport. And the translation is, the four Vedas, namely the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, and Atharva Veda, are all emanations from the breathing of the great personality of Godhead. And that, I know I'm remembering, it's 3:15, that verse that mentions how the all-pervading Brahman is eternally present, Nityam, Jagye, Patisthitam, and acts of sacrifice. All right. We even are here privy to a, so to speak, backstage view, namely how the most confidential Shrutis are now speaking up and sharing their most exalted realization. Now, I'm referring here, of course, to how they spoke out of turn and they came in and they just had to express their desires and their realization, which is in the mood of the gopis, Gopi Bhav, which we'll get to some sweet day, or even in this class, we'll discuss it at least intellectually. Okay, let's get right into it. Is invocation of Gopi Bhav. And I always have to mention, I won't mention it anymore because I think you all know my homely style by now. But when it seems like I'm reading, it's because I'm reading. Okay. But unless I give a reference, it means I'm reading what I keyed in the computer very recently for this class or for whichever class I have the privilege to give. So, invocation of Gopi Bhav, although a club by that name was dissolved by Srila Prabhupada circa 1974 in L.A., our Gaudiya heritage is ultimately upholding that mood. Not only upholding it, but spreading that particular exalted platform of love of God, in other words, love of God in the conjugal rasa, and what to speak of conjugal rasa, the parakia, as opposed to svakia, conjugal rasa, paramour, that is our legacy, that is our heritage, that is what we're being given by our Gaudiya Sampradaya. So we can talk about that a little bit. There's a philosophical aspect, there's also a, you might say, an institutional aspect involved. I'll just begin this little discussion by describing a perplexity that I had when I first joined. And I was given the translation. I was already chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as best as I could for 9 years, because I started chanting 9 years before I joined. But when I got the translation, I was saying, well, how does this work? It says, oh, my Lord, oh, energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. And I said, wait a second, I'm tired of serving the energy of the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I was thinking the energy referred to Maya, but actually it's Hare. Oh, Radha refers to Srimati Radharani. This story goes on. Now, fast forwarding, just a few days ago, I heard a 1972 lecture on Bhagavatam where Srila Prabhupada was referring to a verse in Bhagavad Gita. Now, yesterday, and no, is it the other day? It was yesterday actually. We heard, I think, in the purport, maybe it was recorded class. I'm trying to remember. We heard Srila Prabhupada was I'm sorry. It was this morning in the reading. In this morning, right after Mangalarti, we had a regular reading from Namamrita. And it was the exchange between Srila Prabhupada and Professor Stahl, strong, you know, scholarly, academic, Indologist, you can say. And that's right in Science of Self-Realization. And Professor Stahl, as we heard, he said, it is indisputable that the Bhagavad Gita does not instruct that we have to chant so much the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is indisputable. And Prabhupada very politely wrote back and said, I cannot understand why you're saying it is indisputable. And what was the verse that Prabhupada referred to in Bhagavad Gita? Satatam kirtiyantumam yatantascha didatta. Didavrata namasyanchastamam bhakya nitya yukta upasana nitya yukta upasana, always chanting my glories as part of that verse. So, and that's the way to become liberated and beyond. So that was referred to. Now, but if we go to the verse just prior to that, mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashritaha bhajantananyamanaso gyapabhutadim avijam. That's the verse that refers to the Mahatma. Who is the devotee? What is a devotee? What is the qualification of a real devotee? That he's under the Daivi Prakriti. Of course, that term could be used in different contexts, but in this context, it means the superior energy. Now, in the class I just mentioned, I heard a couple of days ago, 1972 lecture, Srila Prabhupada made a connection which really gave me some insight and relates to this whole question of Gopi Bhav and Srimati Radharani that we're hearing in today's passage from Bhagavatam. That he pointed out that this is under the control of Radharani, Srimati Radharani, Ladini Shakti, it's a superior energy. Is under the control of Radharani. Of course, all energies emanate from Srimati Radharani. In a class by Sahotra Swami, he got initiated the same time that one of our dear God sisters, Mother Mahamaya, got initiated, and he described that when Prabhupada gave that name, everybody became perplexed. Why is Prabhupada, Yogamaya, that's all right, but why is Prabhupada naming the devotee Mahamaya? And Prabhupada picked up that everybody's kind of looking around and kind of looking towards him, and they really wanted an explanation. It's all right. I know one Mataji, her name is Adira. And Prabhupada said, we should become Dira, not Adira. So why is it named Adira? Because that's also related to Srimati Radharani. She becomes not so peaceful, not so, in the presence of Lord Sri Krishna. So in this case, Mahamaya and Prabhupada kind of relieved everyone of their perplexity. He said, so aspect of Radharani. It's an aspect of Radharani. So getting back to that class I heard a few days ago, so Srila Prabhupada pointed that out. And he connected it with a very exalted, only on the highest level of praying does one get those other two benefits of devotional service. And maybe Pushkara, one of you could correct, if I don't have the Sanskrit right, it's called something Sri Krishna Karshini, that devotional service attracts even Krishna. Krishna Karshini. Sri Krishna Karshini. So he related why devotional service and devotee is attracting Krishna, because what the devotee's whole being and whole activity is under the aegis, is under the control, in a sense, under the jurisdiction of Srimati Radharani. So actually, ultimately, it's Srimati Radharani that's attracting Krishna. And Prabhupada related it to that Mahatmanastu Mam Partha verse. I found that interesting. Okay, so getting back to this issue, we can say, how do we relate to these two opposing directions? On the one hand, we don't want the Prabhupada dissolve the Gopi Bhav Club. We can't take a chance of drifting into the trap of Sahajiism, which is not as bad as Mayavad, but it's pretty bad. It takes us way off, deviates from the goal. At the same time, Satsrup Maharaj quoted Prabhupada, and then I saw in one purport or one lecture, Prabhupada actually did say that we should not boycott conjugal ras or rasa lila. We don't boycott. We don't boycott this. The mood of the gopis, or maybe we should say in this case, girl cut. We don't do that. In other words, this is our whole legacy. This is our whole heritage. Gopi Bhav, what to speak? Many of our greatest acharyas, what to speak of gopis, they're actually manjaris. They're eternal siddhasvaru. So what do we do? Well, perhaps Bhagavad Gita 3:41 shed some light on how the adjustment works. It says, asmatvam indriyanyado niyamya bharatar shabam. What is it? Papmanam prachadihi yenam jnanam rananashanam. That's at the very beginning, niyamya, to regulate. Regulate your activities to conquer this enemy called lust, the destroyer of knowledge and realization. So how does it relate to this? That we are regulating our, we can say gopi bhav, or our interest in that, or our exposure to that. And how do we regulate it? What do we chant every morning? I spend a lot of time in Spanish-speaking places, and they don't say, they just say serviente, they just say make me your servant. But English, we actually say make me your maid servant. And hopefully we're becoming more advanced, and we're not, those in male bodies, they're not disturbed by that. You know, when I first, you know, started chanting, I was like, I don't want to be a girl. I mean, what is it, making you a maid servant or something like that? I don't like this. Even today, I say it a little bit softer voice or something like that. I still have some that conditioning. I don't know if any of the other men, those in men's bodies, feel that way. Of course, in today's class and what we heard in the purport, this is the most exalted. The most exalted things, the most exalted processes in the spiritual context are the most degraded, like the most degraded thing you see in the news is equal rights and respect for whatever you call it, transvestites, is that what it's called? People who change their sex by having these horrific operations and they become like some kind of strange creature, actually. I mean, they purposely inflict that on themselves, all due to lust. They feel more comfortable, you know, being some other sex that they're not. Even you can fill out forms and it says gender, male, female, or other, or something like that. You know? Now there's more than two genders. It's just some kind of a homophobic, chauvinistic, conservative something if you think there should only be two. Anyway, it's become pretty bad. But then in the spiritual, like the upside down banyan tree, in the most exalted level, these shrutis, they were male and they wanted to become female, not by some ghastly operation, but by, yeah, you can say a surgery, but on a much more subtle level, where they spiritual, actually. And the Supreme Lord granted their request, and they became gopis. And there was nothing unwholesome whatsoever in that gender change. Of course, if someone has a female body and she wants to become like someone like Bhishma Dev or something, that could also could be arranged. Also, you know, it works both ways. But because our legacy, you know, is actually Gopi Bhav. So it's still that idea of adjusting it. So how do we do it? By Tulsi Puja. Every morning we have Tulsi Puja. And that's Gopi Bhav. It's not Gopi Bhav. What is it? Anybody disagree? Certainly it's Gopi Bhav. And then also I noticed I took one of these pamphlets and it's called the Radharani Club. So here we got a Radharani Club like that. And I was hearing another class where Prabhupada was mentioning that that we in Vrindavan they always emphasize Srimati Radharani. And Prabhupada, how does he adjust this? He's a really nuanced there. He says we take shelter of Srimati Radharani so she can bring us to Krishna and give us shelter of Krishna. Of course, in Vrindavan, devotees, they often say that the reason we like Janmashtami to celebrate it so much is we know there's only a few more days until Radhastami. Or, you know, in other words, and you hear they say, Jai Radhe! Isn't it? That's the style in Vrindavan. It's in Krishna Balaram Mandir, maybe in other mandirs too. You get someone like an amazingly powerful devotee who is no longer physically present, Aindra Prabhu. He was like, you know, it's like how, you know, it's like you go one extreme or the other. You know, you get some people who almost want to boycott Gopi Bhav, and you get someone like Aindra who is, you know, pushing us and demanding of us that we elevate and don't. Even if you become really, really good, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakta, don't sit on your laurels. Don't be complacent. That's just the bare beginning. Come up, come up. This is what's demanded of us. This is what's expected of us. He pushed it so hard that some devotees felt nervous or something. But that's there. I have his, in my library in Trinidad, I have his controversial book. He came out and he left us a book. So, so is Gopi Bhava dangerous? Well, it is. Could be dangerous if we start a club and 24/7 we try to precipitously enter in that move and we don't consider more foundational points in the philosophy that dislodge us from the bodily conception of life, and it could become offensive. But it's also dangerous from another point of view, and I'll end with this famous verse, and it's the one I have to take recourse to my little trick of the 6/8 rhythm. I'll just read the English. My dear friend, if you are, you know this one. My dear friend, if you are attracted to your worldly friends, do not look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda as he stands on the bank of the Yamuna at Keshi Ghat. Casting sidelong glances, he places his flute to his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body, bending in three places, appears very bright in the moonlight. So it's dangerous. This Gopi Bhava is dangerous, I mean, to appreciate Krishna in a conjugal mood, because you'll become completely finished with all your material business. So be careful. Don't look at Krishna. You won't have any more material life like that. So anyway, these are just some suggestions related to today's verse. I'm 4 minutes or so official time. Does anyone have any comment or question? 76? It was that late? I don't know. I thought it was a little earlier. But maybe it went on for some time. Maybe 76 is when Prabhupada... That's when Prabhupada nipped it, was 76? Okay, thank you.
Haribo. I was there.
Oh,
so
I have to repeat. Pushkar Prabhu pointed out a slight correction that I mentioned 74, but it was actually 76. This incident in L.A. with the Gopi Bhava Club and Srila Prabhupada kind of canceling it. Someone else?
He was quoting continually one particular verse, Deha Smriti Nahi Jar Samsa Bandhan Kaham Tar, which has a slight variation in one of Narottam's songs, but originally comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the gopis, if one is in a stage of the gopis, then they have smriti nahi, they don't even remember the material body. They have smriti nahi, remember your body, smriti nahi jar, samsar bandhan. So there's no question of samsara, they're totally free like that. So that's a qualification of being in Gopi Bhava. Uh-huh. He was setting the bar a little higher. And there are other little gory details. One of the leaders had, who was well known for some certain controversial leaderships, that he, the way he presented it to Prabhupada was a little more, he exaggerated a little bit, saying that the members of this club were engaging in illicit activity, which they really weren't. Therefore, he exacerbated the system, the situation a little bit.
That's unfortunate that Prabhupada gets a report which is erroneous. Then he may make a decision that maybe he might not have made it, although it's possible Prabhupada would have nipped it anyway.
No, the Gopi Bhava Club was going on, but he tweaked it a little bit. Tweaked the situation. I don't know where he got his information.
Right.
But wasn't exaggerated over the Prabhupada. They're having Gopi Bhava Club, but they're doing this and this and this. But in retrospect, it wasn't really so much.
Right. You mentioned this idea of remembrance, and that's something I don't have time now, but there's something I forgot to include that I had in my class preparation was that very interesting verse of that if one remembers me, all these benefits, if you could just remember Krishna, that we become expert in Vedas, even if we haven't studied the Vedas, we become expert at sense control, we become, all qualifications are there by remembering Krishna, so I should have included some discussion on that. Anybody else? Yes, Ganga Narayan Prabhu.
In the Nectar of Instruction, right in the 8th verse, the essence of all advice, Srila Prabhupada is describing Bhava Bhakti.
In the nectar of instruction.
Eighth verse. Essence of all advice.
The essence of all advice.
Prabhupada describes Bhav Bhakti right in that verse. And the nectar of instruction is very foundational.
Bhava Bhakti, or specifically Gopi Bhava Bhakti?
Manjari Bhav, Bhav Bhakti.
Right, okay.
So, all these things are in Srila Prabhupada's books, but being younger devotees, he didn't stress these things very much.
Right, so Ganga Narayan Prabhu was saying that all these things, all this information is in Srila Prabhupada's books, but because we were young devotees, and in one sense we still are, they did not stressed so much.
Also in the fourth chapter of the Adi Lila, the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya's descent, Krishna Das Kaviraj is saying, I will now describe the transcendental love affairs of Radha and Krishna, because without understanding this, you won't understand the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You will not understand who is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and why he appeared.
Now, I don't think I have to repeat it if he has a microphone. Right? Okay, that's okay.
So all these things are there, and even the Hare Krishna mantra, although Srila Prabhupada said, Balaram, Rama can be Balaram or Lord Ramachandra. But technically speaking, Rama means Ramaniya Krishna, one who sports with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. So the whole Hare Krishna mantra is Radha and Krishna.
You know, the great acharyas had different, there's different ways of interpreting the Sanskrit, and even the word Hare, sometimes it's Hari, and it refers to the Supreme Lord rather than Srimati Radharani. But this is our Sampradaya. We're in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. This is what our understanding should evolve up to, we can say.
So Rama and Balaram are inside Krishna. So because they're inside Krishna, technically you can say, Rama means Balaram or Lord Ramachandra. But if you read teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he explains these things in conversations between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, where he describes that what is Ramaniya Krishna, what is Rama? And devotees of Radha and Krishna, they don't like to hear Krishna referred to as Rukmini Rama, because that represents a rasa bas. To describe that Rukmini and Krishna are the same as Radha and Krishna. So it really just depends on how much you want to fine tune your understanding.
It depends on how advanced one is becoming, when one is ready for these more exalted things, and one is less and less on the bodily conception, he's more prepared, he has the purity to be able to live in this realization. It just gives me more and more appreciation of how Srila Prabhupada so expertly, without boycotting his higher tattvas, but at the same time protecting our own devotional creepers, how he arranged, for instance, I mentioned Tulsi Puja, and how he regulated our own incipient, fledgling Gopi Bhav. Maybe some of you are not so neophyte as I am. And in his books, how his wording, how everything is so fine-tuned. So he's ministering to worldwide readership who some are not even devotees yet, and yet at the same time it's included. So it's not boycotted, it is included, but it's done in such a way, so nuanced, that we don't fall into the Sahajiya syndrome. Oh, that's it. Okay, thank you all very much.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.